Well, of course, once again, you're welcome to the School of Prayer. Let's quickly take our declaration of understanding. Then we'll share a word briefly, and then we'll continue to pray. Amen?
Amen.
One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. God is entering my heart. He's giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area. And He's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. We will probably rise in a few minutes. Now, I've been looking at that issue of sanctification for some time, and you said, I'm just quoting that again and again, maybe we should just read it briefly. Revelation. I've been quoting it many times, I just wanted to just read it briefly. Okay. Chapter 19, verse 7. It said, let us rejoice. Okay, let's start from verse 6. From verse 6. It said, then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. He said, let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. He said it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is a righteous act of the saints. I've been quoting this, even though we didn't come here to read it, but I've referred to it almost every time in the last few meetings on this, that the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. Is the bride that did it. She had to get up and dress herself up. She didn't lie around passively while somebody forced the dressing upon her. It was a bride that made herself ready. It was given to her. Notice that. The Bible, if you didn't live in translation, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. She had to wear it herself. So the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Of the saints. The bride took it upon herself to wear the robe, to wear the fine linen. It doesn't fall upon the bride by itself. The bride picks it up and puts it on. Please let me say this again. After Paul took a number of chapters from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 into chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians to tell us what God had done for us in Christ Jesus. How we're dead in sin, but we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. By grace we have been saved. He explained. Not of ourselves, but what? The gift of God. So that no one can boast. He talked about the fact that we have been created after God in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. He explained the fact that you were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Alienated from God, but now God has brought you in. He explained that He had broken down the wall of partitioning between the Jews and the Gentiles, and has made all into one body. He said, there is now one body. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one Father of us all. He explained all of those things. Then at the end of the day, what did He now say? Now, having understood all of this, He now began to tell us how to, what? Walk. How to live. That's what He did. After I explained everything, He said, now that you know all of these things, even before I even get to that point, He told us, what God had done to prepare us for effectiveness. That is, the work God did, the preparation He made. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and then some as pastors and teachers to equip us for a certain assignment. Having said all of those things, He now says, so this I say, and I affirm together with the Lord that you have a job to do. That's verse 17. He gave an instruction. He said, with the Lord's authority, New Living Translation, I say this. live no longer as the Gentiles do. Did you notice that? That is, a commandment was now given to the saints of God. The commandment was now issued. That is, God doesn't believe that you don't have the power. I said to you us before, that sin for the Christian is not bondage. It's not compulsory. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. For the unbeliever, it's bondage. He can't help it. For the Christian, it's a choice. The day you decide to break a bad habit, you will break it. Surely why people don't? Lack of motivation. Lack of motivation. They just don't take it seriously. And then they exercise themselves in negative talk. Like the man of God who I said pinned on his Twitter handle that when Paul said, don't worry about anything, it was because he had never been to Nigeria. Now that kind of statement inactivates the power of God in your life. Grace must be activated, and it can be inactivated. Every excuse you give for sin and disobedience inactivates grace. Did you hear what I said? What is grace? God's enablement, God's power given to you to obey Him. What is grace? God's power given to you to walk according to His will. What is grace? Is the power of God made available for the child of God to do what God wants. Listen, you don't do right by your own energy. It's always by the empowerment of the Spirit. So your duty is to activate grace. Like I said the other day, if you followed me on WhatsApp channel, I said, listen, why did Israel not enter the promised land? It was not because the giants were plenty. It was not because resources were not available. It's not because the roads were bad. Or that they were now in band C. And their electricity had been taken to go and service those in band A. It was not because of inflation. It had nothing to do with the then price of the forex that was the international, you know, exchange currency. It didn't have anything to do with the price of fossil fuels, natural gas, or even, solar panels. Nothing. It didn't have anything to do with which party won the last election. Nothing. There was only one reason why they couldn't enter. They said, we are not able. That's all. That's all. All the excuses were there. God had no problem with the excuses until they said, we can't enter. Now, they used the giants to persuade themselves. Do you get my point? You know, there are those who say things like, now, it's not only in Nigeria, it's all over the world. Some people say if Donald Trump won the last election, that one that he won, they are leaving America. He won. They did not leave America. Some people said the same thing about last. In fact, there was one particular old man with plenty of white hair. He said if Donald Trump won American presidency, he would tear his residency permit or something. Donald Trump won, he didn't hear it. Some people were leaving Nigeria. They said, why? He said, because the last election, they don't like who won it. Those are the reasons why God destroys people in the wilderness. When you have found an excuse to disobey Him. I hope you're getting my point. Why did they not enter? They said, we're not able. You know, I've been saying this again and again. Look for every excuse to persuade yourself to obey. Just look for excuses. You know, then when I was serving, I learned a trick very early. Like, see, madness is good. Just use faith to go mad. It makes life very easy for you. What do I mean? When I was serving as a young NYC doctor then, one guy came and met me that they needed to terminate a pregnancy. So I said, I can't do that. I said, no, why not? I said, if I do, I will go to hell. You know, it's very nice. Will anybody try and persuade you to go to hellfire? And I wasn't trying to argue with him that, you see, some things are good, some things are not good. No. I just said, bros, you know, I will go to hellfire. I still remember his face. You know, it helped me, you know. Call me any name, that hellfire doctor, call me. See, you know, there was a time David was in trouble. He removed his clothes, like he was mad. And he escaped. If your guy calls you to the office, let's change figure. When you get in there, just... What's wrong with you? Are you normal? You do smoke something. After a while, you see, when you go outside, you have escaped the temptation. You're a student, you're a woman. Lecturer says, you should see him in his office. And he gets, he's trying to do something. He starts shouting, hey, my meal, yeah! The only man will immediately drive you out. When they are driving you out, you return to normalcy. That was what David used to escape. I hope I get my point. Look, listen. If you know your life is in danger, and that's why, you know, I told you when Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. He wasn't joking. He knows if you are serious, you won't stumble. It's because you think the right hand can cause you to stumble that you come home and be explaining. Lord, it's not my fault, though. It's the right hand. This right hand, what is wrong with you? Don't you know we're supposed to obey the Lord? Jesus said, that's why you can't stop iniquity. But if you carry the saw, right hand, what are you doing? I don't know. Just do it first. And right hand says, you're not serious, are you? That's why you know the right hand knows the way to the pocket. It will enter the pocket and stay there. What am I saying? The reason why God cannot save us from sin, that is from committing, is because we are not serious. We are not. And that's why I keep saying, those who preach to us that there are no consequences are the enemies of our souls. Those who preach the kind of mercy that God did not promise are the enemies of our souls. Because they remove the motivation that taps grace. I hope you're getting my point. Obedience to God is not supposed to be a matter of convenience. I obey it if it's okay. If I don't have too much to lose. Anyway, what am I saying? It's a bride that made herself ready. That applied all the resources available to wear that white linen. That's what the bride did. Say, where's the white linen? I must wear it. And we've been saying that that's one major thing that God gave us prayer for. Outwardly, that's what we do with intercessory prayer. But inwardly, the primary assignment of prayer in our lives is to purify ourselves. It's to make ourselves what God created us to be. There are two sides to prayer, like I said, when it comes to supplications and making requests. It's intercession, and then there's personal requests. The primary thing you're supposed to use your personal request for is to make yourself into what God made it to be. I said Paul gave us all of those things from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4. Extensive resources, facts. I said it's your duty to apply them. So now said, therefore, I say this to you, by the authority of the Lord, do not walk in a particular way. What was he saying? If you do, it's not the Lord's fault anymore. So I've been looking at that. And we have said, we talked about that again last time, that meditation. Now, but let me start now for what I wanted to say, okay? Today, let's start it by reading from the book of, let's start the first one. We'll start from John chapter 1. Open to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, just to help those who are Bible students, which all of us should be, understand. Sometimes the Bible, especially the New Testament, has long paragraphs that belong in parentheses. You're supposed to just put them in brackets. Is that okay? And when you want to study, you have to be careful to note those areas. They're all over the place. You find the book of Hebrews, Paul had a lot of it, okay? And then it's in this John here. How you're supposed to read this is from John chapter 1. You read John chapter 2. And you read John chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 4. And then you continue in verse 14. Verse 5 to 13 are in brackets. They are not part of the flow. They were just inserted to quickly explain something to you. That this was not the light and all of that, okay? That there was a true light. Now, so let's read it properly. I'm going to jump all of that segment. 6 to 13. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. Now, that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to stop reading there, verse 14. Emphasis is on the expression, the word became what? Flesh. The word that was spoken congealed and took on flesh and manifested for us to see. That is a very important principle. Quickly flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read that portion, well known. One of the areas where my meditation from today is taken from. Let me just read from verse 12. That verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active." I don't want to take the whole context. Let's just get into this. "And sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Let's just stop them in verse 13. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Again, why did I read this? Because he said the word of God is alive or living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, let me quickly explain what it means to be alive and active. What it means simply is it's a living being. I hope you're getting my point. It's an intelligent being. It's a being that has intuition, that has emotions, that can analyze a situation, make decisions, and command effect. The word of God is not just a set of instructions to obey. The word of God is a living thing. Like if you were to tell an angel, "Please go and get me something," it won't cross your mind that you need to give the angel details. I hope you get my point. Now, I could have said if you were to tell your son or your friend, but let's leave human beings. If you go to the realm of the spiritual, the things of the spirit, if I was to tell a cherub or a seraph or an angel, and I said, I left my... They used to tell that you can send angels on errand. I don't do that. I don't believe you should, but... Well, let's just assume you could. I said, "Wow, I left my Bible in the office." I don't need to tell the angel which one is my office. I don't need to tell the angel which one is my Bible. I don't need to tell him that when you want to pick it up, lift it up by the front end, put your fingers under it, and balance it on your hand, and hold it with the second hand, because the word of God must not fall. When you were young, do you hear that? When we were young, you said, "The Bible can't fall down." No? Yeah. If it falls down, what happened to you? Do you remember? Huh? Oh, you were talking mad. No, our one was not that bad. They said to give you a headache. Yes. And I've forgotten the 82 for the thing. You know what they call 82? And the title. Well, it's like antidote, but actually the... Jonah, you don't know me of 82. Yeah, the ritual to undo the hair, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, for example, now, you know, like when Moses was going to die, the 82 for his death was to circumcise his son. Do you remember? So I've forgotten the one they gave us that time. Anyway, that your Bible was not for. Anyway, that's just an aside. So you don't have to tell your angel these things. Just say, "Go to my office, please. I need to have my Bible." You know, he knows the direction of the office, how to get there, how to open the door. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying you send angels up and down, all right? The Bible doesn't encourage communication with angels. Is that all right? Yeah. But I'm just trying to, I want you, in your mind, to just see that if you think about an angel, you realize that he doesn't need fine details. You understand that he can think and is powerful. You know that the Bible says that he's mighty in strength. Do you get my point? So you it wouldn't cross your mind that if a trailer it blocks the road, it will waste the angel's time. You know, you just pass through the trailer and come. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's what will come to your mind if you sent an angel on an errand. Why? That's the meaning of alive and active. I've just described what it means to be alive and active. And the Bible says that's how the word of God is. That's what I've been saying it again and again. Please, I'm a Pentecostal. I am not against Pentecostals. And some of, but I said last time, we have some excesses. Have you heard this thing before? That look, when you are speaking in tongues, the devil doesn't know what you are saying. I say, you, do you know what you are saying? So what difference does it make whether the devil knows or he doesn't know? What can he do about it? Jesus spoke in English. What could the devil do? David prayed in his own language. Did I say Jesus spoke in English? Sorry. But you know what I mean, don't you? He spoke his normal language, which Peter, James, and John understood. And there was nothing the devil could do. Okay? Where I'm going is that, listen, the word of God that is given to you, if you can capture the relevant word for a situation, is deeper than any tongue you can speak. Fact. That's not typical Pentecostal teaching. It's deep. You know why? The word is not a mass of instructions. It's a living being. If you say the Lord is my shepherd, he knows where you are as a flock. He knows the lions hunting you. He knows how to shield them off, knows how to protect you. All you need to do is shut your eyes and say, the Lord is my shepherd. The lion will run away. You know why? Because the word will crystallize into a ferocious lion-eating word. I don't know what to say. I want to say angel, I say it's not good enough. Cherubim, not good enough. Being, not good enough. It's just crystallized into a ferocious lion-eating word. And the lion that's appointed to die that day will stay there. The one that has antelopes to hunt will just turn around and go away. There is nothing deeper, stronger, because the word is an intelligent. When that word comes, the word will just do this. And, you know, a whole legion of angels, is that what the Bible says? We hearken unto the voice of that word. That's what they do. So, please, I want to understand the meaning of the word, the meaning of that expression. The word of God is alive and active. These days we talk about artificial intelligence. The word is divine intelligence. Don't joke with your Bible. Once you prick up the prophets, pray, say, Lord, speak to me from this word. Do you follow my point? Yeah, he said, Lord, speak to me from this word. He speaks to you. That's why David said, I rejoice at thy word. Great, that is, you know what is great? They went to war. They conquered the enemy. All the gold, silver, armor, you know, clothing, food. David said, that's how I rejoice when I find the word. Please don't forget it. For that reason, listen. When God said, Deuteronomy chapter 8, that he made you hungry and fed you with manna, Moses was speaking. He said, so that you will understand that man shall not live or does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall a man live. Before, when I was young, maybe you were like that too. They say when you have the word, you add, you know, like, not the man, sorry, when you have bread, you need the word also. Don't just go after word alone, bread alone. You need to have the word. Because without the word, the bread will not. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. The longest fast in the Bible you've known was by who? Moses. How many days? 80 days. 40 days on the mountain. Beholding the presence of God. He did not need food. He did not need water. He did not need air. I'm not saying he did not breathe. I said he didn't what? Need. But we know he didn't eat. We know he didn't drink. I doubt whether the breath was necessary. What does food give? Is it not glucose, amino acids, fatty acids, and glycerol after digestion? Some vitamins that you must have on a daily basis. Your body probably has enough of the other ones. You don't need that food for some months to contain them. What does water bring? It's a medium for all metabolism in the body. You need to have water. Water is needed to cleanse your system. Your kidneys can't work without water. To flush out everything in the system. He didn't need it. So if a man didn't need all of this, why should he need oxygen? He did not need oxygen. Please don't go and say, Pastor Bank, he said, Moses did not breathe. I didn't say so. I'm just saying he did not need oxygen. It was in the presence of God. The life of God came out of God into him and sustained him. So much was the amount of life that he carried down that the next 40 days he still did not need material things. Do you understand my point? So God said, I made you hungry and fed you with manna so that you would understand that anything food can bring, the word can bring it. Did you catch that? Anything food can bring, the word can bring. Now this is just illustrate that they've happened. I told this story, I read somewhere. I saw the picture of the guru, one of these Buddhist, I think, or Hindu gurus. He told scientists that he could live, I've forgotten for how long, without food and water. And they told him that it was not true, was not possible. So he agreed for a test. So he sat down in a room where they could observe whether he was getting food and water. Do you know what happened to the man? Nothing. They got tired. I've forgotten how long it lasted. The man just sat down there looking at all of them. Days passed. No food, no water. Now I read this in a secular magazine. Do you understand? Maybe something like one of the secular magazines, maybe like Newsweek or stuff. They discontinued the experiment. I don't know why. Maybe they felt that if this man dies, we'll be held responsible. But they were the ones that got tired. They observed the man for, I'd forgotten how long, how many days, maybe 2 weeks or so. He had not taken water, he had not taken food. Then they told themselves, please guys, let's go. I read this I saw a picture of the guru where he sat. Said, the man told them he doesn't need food, doesn't need water. Told them the length of time he can sit there without food and water. See, I didn't learn that because the man said so. I'd already read my Bible. To find out the meaning of man does not live by bread alone. Can I quickly add this? That's why you fill your life with thanksgiving. Because Ken Hagin says something. Please, an aside. This is warming up. Are you getting my point? We're getting to the main thing we're coming to do. We're warming up. You know, this world, you know, I told you last time that you have an enemy. Do you remember me saying it? What's the name of the enemy? The witches? Your uncle that does not want your father's children to succeed? Is that the name of the enemy? What's the enemy? Your adversary, the devil. This devil works hard, though, to undermine your faith. One of the major areas where he has undermined people's faith, if very effective, is in food. He has taught the world how to be ungrateful with food. The more advanced they are, the more their faith disappears. But now abroad, you label every detail in any food you are selling. How many calories are there? I remember one video we saw once of one girl, one woman. Said, do you know how many calories is in this bowl of fried plantain? You did like this. Over 1,000. One Nigerian babe come answer and say, who asked you? He said, who asked you? He started making mockery of the video. And do you know how many calories is there? He said, we didn't. He said, what do you want us to do? Fry stone? He said, he just woke up this morning and said, what can I do to make black people lament? What can I do to take away their joy? He said, yeah. He said ordinary plantain that did not do anybody anything. He said, my sister, if you know you don't know how to fry, tell us. Why are you now using your mouth to spoil our fried plantain? I like the way she ended it. She said, no boy will ever take my joy. She said, you won't take my joy. In this life, how many things are there now? Ordinary to eat fried plantain, then he has 1,000 calories. So, I will use the 1,000 calories to worship the Lord. This is what has been taught. Now, please, I'm not promoting gluttony or lack of self-control. But the world has taught us, many of us, to take our food and look at it with suspicion. Look at the food. What they use, is it cottonseed oil or groundnut oil? Or is it sunflower seed oil? And the person is looking like, what did you say, sir? I know a man that behaves like that. Let me not mimic him. You know, it depends on the kind of, you know, the thing they can, and you're looking like, oh, God, if you don't want to eat, why don't you just drop that plate? I said, don't fry the meat. If you fry the meat, you know, I don't want to start teaching you people diet, eh? Some people, they think I spoil things for people. I have one rule. Eat whatever I said before you. I mean, when you have been hungry, walking the whole day, you have brought food, you now want to be checking which calorie they inside. You know, God is looking at you like, this boy, what is wrong with you? This is how people die in the wilderness. I brought you food, you are doing microscopic examination. This world has taught people, how to curse their food every time. You have to fight that thing. No, you have to fight it. You have to. Listen, if you have an allergy to food, you can cure it with prayer and thanksgiving. This is where I was going. You have to learn to give thanks before you start thinking. As soon as the food comes, thank God first. Now, I was going to quote somebody. Ken Hagin said, what's all this nonsense? He said, whatever is good, that's good, that's not inside, I put it in with thanksgiving. Whatever is bad, that's not supposed to be there, I take it out with thanksgiving. Please, that's not a joke. That is the word of the Lord. Practice thanksgiving. When I say man does not live by bread alone, it's not a joke. Practice thanksgiving. It will remove poison from your food. You think you are alive because you know how to select food. You have, look, as I'm looking at all your faces here, all of you, you have eaten deadly things. It didn't hurt you. Yeah. It's the word of God. I've seen people many times that deadly things killed them. They went for a wedding. There's one that happened, I told you before, somewhere in Enugu here, some years ago. Bride, groom, number of guests died. Yeah. You know? Yes. It happened. They had botulinum poisoning. Yeah. It's a very deadly disease. Very difficult to treat. It kills. So you think you have been able to escape all of them? The way I'm looking at some people here, you've eaten it and you belched it. You know, as we're saying, Father, thank you. All the toxin came out of your breath. See, the thanksgiving you do before food is not just, it's gratitude on your part, that is true. But it's potent when it comes to saving your life and putting real nutrients in the food. Yesterday I was, something, well, yesterday or the day before, I was reading my Bible, something made me look at some charts. No, it was on my phone. When I found out that some men lived though. I think I still have the chart here. But let me not go into that. When Pharaoh saw Jacob, and he said, sir, how old are you? Like I told him how old he was, but I've not lived as long as my fathers. Do you know why? Jacob, let me check which one of them. I have it here, somewhere around here. If I can quickly find it. Yes. I was just looking at it yesterday. I said, what? Dad, do you know? Jacob knew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He knew his grandfather to the 11th level. That is that, you know, you have grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. Count it until you have counted the 11 steps. Jacob knew. Many of us don't realize that how long some men lived. You'd be surprised to know that Abraham was already an adult before Noah died. Abraham. Some of those men, their accounts written in your Bible, believe them. Their real oral account. That is, the story from Genesis to Abraham was told maybe by like 3 people. It's not 10 people handing it down. No. You read your Bible, you find out that by the time Lamech was born, Lamech was an old man before Adam died. Lamech was the father of Noah. Yeah, not a joke. Lamech was the father of Noah. And Adam was still alive when Lamech was already a big boy. And then you look from there, by the time you are talking about, do you know Haran, Nahor, you know, that father of Abraham? Do you know Haran died before Noah? And Abraham was already an old man in quote before Noah died. So the story, look, Abraham tell you something. It's not 10 people told him. He heard it from Noah, who heard it from Adam. Or no, who heard it from maybe Seth, something like that. Where am I going? Who was checking those people? Who was checking their food microscopically to see what is inside and what is not inside? See, don't let the world teach you to hate your food. Receive it with what?
Thanksgiving.
Do you know, Thanksgiving will put a limit on what you will eat. You can start eating the food. And the Spirit of God will say, the one you have eaten is enough. You won't know where your appetite is just gone. After a while, you form a habit. I don't eat that much. Eh, you don't? Why not? I don't know. You don't enjoy the food. I enjoy it, but usually by the time I eat this level, I'm okay. The word of God will constrain your appetite. The word of God. But you know, when you have finished reading all kinds of journals that make it look like your life, man lives by bread alone. And what comes out from the mouth of God does not affect anything. They may give you the impression that your life is all about genes and food. All about genes and food. No. Life is much more than genes and food. You have to activate grace. I've been talking about that. Activate grace into your life all the time. In the area of food, please, Thanksgiving. Look at the food and be seeing God preparing it and sending it to you. Father, I want to thank you. In the morning, you want to soak garri with groundnut and one cube of sugar. By the time you finish soaking it with Thanksgiving, you will derive more nutrient from it than those who had the buffet breakfast. All you want to eat. But when you pick it up and say, I don't know what Tinubu is doing with this country. This garri, just 2 years ago, you started telling us the price, the history. I'm telling you. And I have people at your level, you know. I told you once, a relative of mine said, he carried the plate, he used to serve her food. That is not the plate my mates used to eat. I just got up and walked away. I was so angry. You know, like, what did you just say? It's not the kind of plate my mates used to eat. Can't, I've not eaten rice from leaf. You know, the special delicacy to have it served in leaf. We just be complaining over nothing. You be telling history on garri. The angel that brought the nutrients, the angel that brought the chicken flavor for your garri, yeah, is angry. He's looking at you. Say, children, just eat the one you can. I don't know what's going on. This country is finished. I like one joke I saw once. One guy wanted to soak garri, and he was praying. So one guy came and like, his ordinary garri, now they pray like this. The guy didn't even answer. So he just dropped his garri, pour water inside. Nonsense. You call garri, they pray like this. He sat down to carry his left leg over the, he just tipped the whole garri and water and sugar and groundnut into the sand. But that one finished his Thanksgiving and continued to eat. That kind of thing, you don't give that guy the food. No. Look, how will you be friends with the enemies of God? You're not supposed to give that guy food. You finish your food. He said, no, this will not be enough for the two of us. Man, learn Thanksgiving. Anyway, just leave small for him, sha. I apologize to God for feeding an ungrateful human being. Thanksgiving, very, very, very important. Anyway, all of this to emphasize something. The word of God is what? Alive and active. It can produce nutrients, put inside food, the exact amount you need. Because the word of God is not just a set of instructions. It's divine intelligence. You say to the Lord, and you want to say, Father God, I thank you for this food. It's a confirmation that the Lord is my provider. Thank you, my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. And you say, amen. The one angel just does like this. All the vitamins, the minerals has been blown into it. You eat it, you swallow it. Wait, why do you think Daniel and those guys were looking healthier, eating rubbish food after 10 days? It's simply because man does not live by what? Bread alone. That is why we activate grace by the word. That's the point I'm going to emphasize to us. So, how do we sanctify ourselves? It's by the word. Sanctify them by thy truth. What? Word. Thy word is truth. So God gives the word, we take it and what? Apply. So what we're going to do today, okay, is just to summarize everything we have been learning. There was something that Jonathan was saying when he was leading prayer earlier, talking about how he turned down, you know, a huge deal that was going to net, if it went through, some buffalo offerings. You get my point? Do you know some pastors, they are hearing that they are angry? Yeah. said, Jonathan, you're not saying that this 5 million naira has been denied this ministry because a tithe of that. It was not 55 million, you said. So you don't short us 5.5 million. You have to say we collect the tithe now. You all know I wouldn't do that, all right? But you get my, that's how some people reason. They're like, yeah. He says, sir, it was not. He said, it's the wealth of the wicked. That's how they rationalize it. I told you, my sister's pastor, she said that I was about to go into that place and I heard the word of the Lord saying, beware of the leprosy of Naaman. So when they gave me money, when I got there, I refused to take it. The pastor said, what nonsense. You should have taken it. Brought me the money. I'll take the leprosy. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Sorry. If that was a joke, it's not funny. The guy, it was big money. The guy said, what? They give you that kind of money? And you're telling him that you heard a voice saying, beware of the leprosy of Naaman. Do you look like Gehazi? The man said, why didn't you collect it? You should have just brought it and given it to me. Don't worry about me and Naaman. We'll settle the leprosy matter. This was what a Pentecostal, tongue-talking pastor. Anyway, let's not sit on that. You know, where I'm going is this. You were saying that you had done it before you even realized what was going on. And I was on the other side, as I was saying, I said, that's how the word works. You didn't do it, the word did it. Did you catch what I said? You're not the one that rejected the offer. It's the word that rejected it. That's what I was saying by saying the word became what? Flesh. The word becomes flesh. The word becomes flesh. The word will reject the offer. You want to take it, the word say you can't. That is like, ha! Left to me, I've collected this money. The word say, come on, let's go. You can't collect. It's not left to you, it's left to me. The word is living and active. Rejected the money. You now get home, you know, you don't even have time to rationalize it again. Like, ah, what happened just now? Ah, what did I just do? Somebody said, the word works.
The word works.
Say it again.
The word works.
You know, when we get something, maybe we get healed, we get money, we say the word works. When you resist temptation, the word also works.
Yes.
It's the word that's working. As we were saying, I was on the other side, I was just listening, I said, that was the word working. And you won't be able to do that if you did not lay up the word in your heart. Like David said, I have to lay it up in my heart so I will not sin against you. What does that mean? The word is defense against sin. If it's in the heart, it stops the sin. I hope you're getting my point. That is why, listen, as a child of God, then you don't have a choice. The key to victory. You know, I've told you before that before I used to be afraid that if I'm the one they put in front of fiery furnace, I won't I bow? No, I don't think it again. Now, I'm not saying that I'm strong. I grew up and realized how strong I was. No. That's not what I mean. What I found out is the same God that kept Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah is not dead. He's alive. That same spirit is still available. And if I say to him the time of peace, that God, I don't ever want to deny you. In the time of trouble, he will take over. The word will become flesh and make me a very stubborn human being. Say, bow. He said, King, forget that thing. This guy can't bow. Why not? Bowing is not our culture. In our church, we don't bow. I'd be like, this guy is so very timid though. The word became what?
Flesh.
So that's why the Bible says that sanctify them by thy truth. What do you do? You issue them the word. Their duty is to carry the word and what? Lay it up in their hearts. So what we're going to do today, which is the reason why, that's why we gather today. You have to summarize everything by taking the word of God and putting it again on our list. Let's go over that issue of meditation again. What is meditation? It's to take the word and roll it again and again between your heart and your mouth. Your heart and your mouth. Your mouth says it. Your ears hear it. Goes back to your heart. Your heart releases it again. Your mouth says it. So literally you get up and you're pacing up and down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my... See, that word is being laid up. That's, look, songs are good. Songs were invented. God is great. To say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is good, it's possible. But you know, if you start singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You can do that the whole day. And you're washing your car. You finish washing your car, you're washing your clothes. After that, you're cutting grass. Are you getting my point? After that, you're sweeping the house. You can sing that song from morning till night. That's how God invented songs. And you know, if you tell children, go and memorize a portion of the scriptures, it's hard though. But let one man rap. You know, what's not this guy that used to rap like DMX? That guy will write, that guy, DMX can rap, you know, a whole Bible. Do you know, every young boy will learn it in a few days. They will rap along with him. There are songs you learned, eh? In secondary school, till now, they have not left you. I was reading my Bible the other day, you know. That was it this morning, earlier as of this morning, or last night. And one part surprised me. I read it, I said, this is Bob Marley. Redemption song. I found it in the Bible. A friend of mine chatted to me about something, so I went to read that portion of the Bible, Genesis chapter 49. He said, but it says, but my hand was made strong by the arm of the Almighty. Those of you who know Bob Marley. That thing from, it's from Genesis chapter 49. The blessing, I think was it of Joseph? I say, eh? I did not know it was in Genesis 49 when I knew the song. I'm almost tempted to sing it, but I won't sing it. Bob Marley, leave me alone. I was in secondary school when the redemption song was all over the place. I was in secondary school. And that thing stayed in my head. I was just reading. I read this morning, yesterday night. I said, what? So Bob Marley took the Bible and they used to write a lot of their songs. That day I saw this guy, Peter Touch, you know, he was talking as he was speaking. As this guy was rapping, I said, this is scripture this man is quoting now. Like, let the wicked melt away as wax melts before the fire. And it was, I said, this guy go carry sound. They take and do Rastafarian song. Those of you who are anointed by God, please write good songs. It helps us obey God. That's where I'm going. Songs are very important. Listen, you learn songs, they reinforce the word of God in your heart. Good songs, good lyrics. And please, by the way, if you listen to a song once or twice, if the lyrics are not, the lyrics are not good, you know what you do? Just throw it away. Go and look for another one. Because whether you like it or not, you will sing that song. You will sing it. And so we did church one day, we were doing praise worship. Going there, the next time I said, one love. Well, I'm not kidding, that we're in church. We're in church. The guy was leading praise worship in church. He was going from one, next thing the guy just shouted, one love. The whole church scattered. For those who don't know, that's Bob Marley too. That's also Bob Marley. They didn't tell me I was in the service. One person didn't laugh. The guy didn't know when I started singing Bob Marley in church. So don't print those songs on your mind, all right? Quickly. It may be nice, so you know, they can be tempting. Songs are so sweet. So sweet. That's something I just say. I know you are sweet too, but the word of God is living and active. Go away. Quickly look for a good one to replace it. Because those things, they will speak to you later. If you go and read Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses wrote a song. That was a song. The whole chapter was a song. It's titled The Song of Moses. They were supposed to make it into, you know, put a melody to it. And every Israelite was supposed to learn this song. Because one day you'll be in captivity. In your sorrow, you will sing that song and find a way out of captivity. Yeah, it's written in there. The song was prophetic. It told them why people go into captivity, what they need to do to come out of captivity. It's all in that song. The Lord is good. So let's walk. We're going to do a few things today, all right? Just to take the word. Remember, meditation is to rule that thing again over and over in your mouth. I have a number of things we are going to do today. Let's see how much we can. We've done spent a lot of time talking. We're going to take declarations of ownership. We'll take declarations of righteousness and the ability to walk in righteousness. We'll take declarations of grace, calling, and purpose. Declarations concerning the ability to walk in our calling. We'll take declarations concerning steadfastness and faithfulness. Then we'll mount Mount Ebal. Remember Mount Ebal? What happens in that place? Curses. We've established here, curses are good. What did I say? Say it like you believe it now. Curses are good. They are very good. It's not Babalawo curse, is it? Who gave the curses? God. God is good. How often is God good? So the curses of God are also good. They are very good for you. The curses of God are good. They are beautiful. You know why? They help you stay in righteousness. When God says to you, The curse of the Lord is in the house of a thief. You will never steal. That way your destiny will manifest. The man that commits adultery with a woman is not wise. You know what? You are foolish. When you hear it, you will do right. How do I get my point? When you hear whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You'll say, me, I'm a son of judgment at this rate, the way I'm going with my life. You know, you will come back. The curses are like the cane, you know, and you warn Perez. Perez, if it's 8 p.m. and I see you still playing football outside, this thing shall land on your back 4 times. Is that not good? Won't you pass the exam next time? I mean, it's not as if I must flog you by force. Just come in before 8 o'clock, go and have your bath, and read your book. Is that not so? Is it not good? Is it a good father that will now say that you can play all, if 12 midnight, come back and sleep, wake up during the night, go and play game on the television, wake up, the exam is tomorrow, doesn't matter. It's not by strength that the man will prevail. That's why God told Israel, you mount Mount Gerizim, you pronounce blessings. Then from the other one, you tell people, don't go this way. Don't go this way. According to David Paulson the other time, he said that there is nothing that Adolf Hitler did to the Jews that God did not warn about. Nothing. Heard a man narrate it in the Bible Experience. When he described what will happen to them if they disobey God. Yeah. Fear. I started wondering, why do people disobey God? They don't believe. Because if you believed, you wouldn't disobey him. Because he said that the enemies will do this, they do this. He said the sight you will see will make you, will drive you mad. You were supposed to cram that thing. Nobody will disobey God. So we are going to Mount Ebal. When ourselves don't depart from what? Righteousness. And again, from there, we remind ourselves, don't depart from purpose. Let's rise to our feet. We're going to read the scriptures. All right? Let's see. Declarations of ownership. This is how meditations go. We'll read the scriptures together, then I give you time. I hope you get my point. Yeah, we have quite a bit, so we're going to be quick. We'll read the scriptures together, then we'll take some time individually and begin to declare the word of the Lord. Is that okay? Everybody say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am not my own.
I
belong to God, my Father.
I belong to Jesus, my Lord.
Say that again. I'm not my own.
I belong to God, my Father.
I belong to Jesus, my Lord.
1
Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Somebody quickly open to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. We're going to read, and then you will just turn that over in your heart again and again. If you are there, okay, let's see where we'll start from. Okay, let's start from verse 19. We're going to read to verse 20. So 19 and 20. Which version are we reading? NASB or NLT, which one do we choose? Okay, let's use New Living Translation in that one. New Living Translation. There's a way he says it. I really like that. Are you there? Please, what we are doing is that we are laying up the word in our hearts so that the word can become flesh. And how this is becoming flesh is making us clean. It's sanctifying us. It's setting us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We have established that we are not the ones that will reject the bribes, like Jonathan was telling us. It's not us. We're not the ones that will refuse to participate in money laundering. It's not us. It's not us. Who will do it? Who will do it? Who will do it? The word. Thank you. It's the word that will become flesh and overcome that temptation. But that word must, ahead of time, be laid up in your heart through meditation. Is that okay? So that's what we are doing. All right, let's start. We are trying to say, our declaration, our meditation is to show that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the one who rescued us. Amen? Amen. Now from verse 19, New Living Translation. Want to let's go. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy... Hey, wait, please, read it like you will want to remember it. Want to let's go. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Did you notice that? He said you do not belong to yourself, but God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Let's read it one more time. From 19. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, So you must honor God with your body. Now, you are going to read it again, this time around to yourself. And this is how you read it. I realize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I do not belong to myself. I belong to God. He bought me with a high price. Therefore, I must honor God with my body. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Now begin to do that. You have 1 minute. You must be talking, no? You can't be silent. I realize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Holy Spirit from God. I am not my own. I do not belong to myself. I was bought with a great price. Therefore, I must honor God with this body. I say to my body, you will honor God. I will glorify God in my body because I don't belong to myself. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I yield my body as an instrument of righteousness. Every part of me is yielded as instruments of righteousness. Why? I don't belong to myself. I belong to my Father. I belong to God who paid a high price for me. I belong to God who bought me with a high price. I belong to God who bought me with a high price. I belong to God who bought me with a high price. Just, you have a few more seconds to do that. I belong to God who bought me with a high price. I belong to God who bought me with a high price. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have declared. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I just want to read this. For time's sake, I will read it while you just note it. Again, this was Paul speaking after they had been on that wrecked ship for some time. Or they had been in the storm for some time before the ship finally wrecked. He was speaking to the people. He said, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. That's Acts 27. Now notice verse 23. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. Did you notice that? It's the same thing that we just read here from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's what he's saying. Everybody say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I belong to God.
And him alone I serve.
Say it again. In the name of Jesus.
I belong to God.
And him alone I serve. One more time.
In the name of Jesus.
I belong to God. And him alone I serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read that one quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Please note all of these scriptures. If you are listening to this remotely, note them. If you are listening to this in a recorded medium, please note this. Write them down. Make them into your own habits. Listen, this is what prayer is about. It's about taking the word of God. The word of God knows how to control you. He knows how to control you. If you lay it up in your heart, he knows how to control you. He knows how to close doors of what you will have thought was opportunity. You will close it. You will not know it was a door of temptation. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, you tell them, don't bother going there. You don't belong there. And you don't know. They'll just be going. They're supposed to pick you up. They forgot. All of you are supposed to go to Onitsha. They reach Origi River before they remembered you. And they called you. Say, we're almost late too. The Holy Spirit that made them. You know, Holy Spirit makes me forget.
Yeah.
You just collect your memory. There was one guy that Joseph met in prison. 2 years. Thank you, forget.com. I like that. 2 years, Joseph was looking like, human beings are wicked. After you finish helping them, they don't remember you. Now, after your life is not a game of chance.
Yes.
If somebody forgot, God did not let him remember. God will send help from where he wants to send it.
Yes.
Don't be angry with anybody. That's why God says you forgive. When you're angry with people, it's because you have forgotten something. The power belongs to God. What did I say? The Lord is good. All right, so let's really read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to read verses 14 and 15. All right? 1-2, let's go. Okay, let's wait for those who are not there. Verse 14. Where we're going is verse 15. Just want to take it in context. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 1-2, let's go.
Yes,
For the love of Christ. Okay, where are we reading? Okay, NLT. Okay, sorry. I was in New American Standard. Okay, let's read NLT. Fine. One, two, let's go. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Now, let's read it again. From verse 14, 1 to let's go. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Now, we're going to take verse 15, and then you are going to personalize it. Is that okay? So now, you have a minute, do that. Christ died for me. I have received his new life. Therefore, I don't live for myself any longer. Instead, I live for Christ, who died and was raised for me. That's it. Please, say that to yourself. You are controlling your body. Christ died for everyone, including me. I have received his new life, therefore. And I therefore do not live for myself. I live for Christ, who died and was raised from the dead on my behalf. I live for Christ, who died and was raised from the dead on my behalf. Please take about 30 more seconds and say that thing to yourself again and again. I'm not living for my own ambition. I'm not living for my own goals. I'm living for Christ. You need to say that to yourself again and again. I live for Christ. I live for Christ. I live for Christ. When you need to make decisions, this word will rise up and make the right decision for you. So that you always do that which is pleasing to Christ. So say it, I live for Christ. I'm not living to satisfy my father. I'm not living to satisfy my mother. I'm not living to satisfy my friends. I'm not living to satisfy myself. I'm living only for Christ. I'm living to do the will of God in my life. I'm living only for Christ. I am living only for Christ. A few more seconds on that. Speak to yourself. Call your own name. Say, Banky, listen, you are living only for Christ. Wherever you are living, it is because of Christ. Wherever you are traveling to, it is because of Christ. It's not because of security. It's not because of prosperity. It's not because of what you will gain personally. But because of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name. Alright, another set of meditations we'll take quickly. Declarations, we are going to take those ones concerning righteousness. That is our ability to do right. Remember I said earlier, we are not in bondage to sin. Somebody say, I'm not in bondage to sin.
I'm not in bondage to sin.
Say, for me.
For me.
Sin is a choice.
Sin is a choice.
And I refuse to make that choice.
I refuse to make that
I make
choice.
A choice for obedience.
I make
a choice for obedience to God.
I make a choice for,
righteousness.
I make a choice for righteousness.
Now let's read a few scriptures. Romans chapter 6. Quickly, let's open to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. People of God, please. It's not by strength that a man will prevail. You know that? It's not. It's not by your determination. There was one guy at that time. You know, very strong guy. Very determined. Bold. So Jesus said that everybody will scatter from me. He said, ah, leave that thing. What's the guy's name?
Peter.
Jesus just looked at him. He said, you will deny me 3 times. Ah, I can never. Do you know what? He had finished denying Jesus 3 times before he realized he had denied him once. That's how life is. That's how life is. Life is very strong. Life is so powerful. You can't do it by yourself. You need help. Where does the help come from? That's it. That's what we are doing, activating the help from God. To walk in righteousness is not because you have determined by yourself. It's because the word of God is helping you. Romans chapter 6. Let's read from around verse 14. Now we're going to read, let me see which version. We're going to read from verse 12 and all the way to verse 14. Let me just see the version we'll read. Okay, same New Living Translation is okay. From verse 12 to verse 14. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now let's read together. One, two, let's go. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Before we read for that, did you notice that? Whose decision is it?
Mine.
I can say to sin, you will not control me. That's what it means to be a believer. Not to be under the power of sin. That's what it means to be a believer. The other day I read one news, a Nigerian man who beat his wife to death. That's just not too long ago. In the UK. They moved there to 2022. You see, you're supposed to know, say, you're not supposed to do some journeys. But when I saw what this guy did, I couldn't believe it. Choked the woman till she passed out, jumped on her chest, crushed her chest, and bashed her head in 50 times. Yes, he must have been. That's where I'm going. And the evil spirit kept the policemen outside. The policemen were there. For 30 minutes, he was pounding this woman. They said they had not received orders to go in. This was in UK. I told my wife, the spirit took this man over. It was a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of rage. And he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And they have children. Father is dead. Mother is in jail. When I saw that, I saw his picture. I just felt bad. You know, this kind of thing, just feel bad. You're not even angry. Just feeling, just like, Lord, can you find me that devil? Let me too jump on his chest and bash his head in 200,000 times. But Holy Spirit said, that's not what you need. Just make sure he can't lay hold of you. Do you get my point?
Yes,
yeah, because sin has power. Just doesn't have over you, doesn't have over me. And that's what we are saying. Sin doesn't have power over us. Somebody says, sin doesn't have power over me. Let's read it again. Let's start again. Verse 12. 1-2, let's go. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to self-sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Now everybody say this, sin is no longer my master.
Sin is no longer my master.
Say it again.
Sin is no longer my master.
Say it again.
Sin is no longer my master.
One more time.
Sin is no longer my master.
Say it. Now say this, say, I live under the freedom of God's grace.
I live under the freedom of God's grace.
I have the freedom to do right.
I have the freedom to do right.
I have the freedom to reject sin.
I have the freedom to reject sin.
Say, I am free. Say it again, I'm free.
I am free.
I am not addicted to anything.
I am not addicted to anything.
See, addiction is that you don't have control. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Now, you are breaking, because see, if you're a Christian, you are not addicted. If you say no, no is no. Cigarettes will leave you. Even cocaine will leave you. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have power over sin. Because I live in the freedom of God's grace.
Because I live in the freedom of God's grace.
Say it again, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have power over temptation.
I have power over temptation.
Because I live in the freedom of God's grace.
Because I live in the freedom of God's grace.
Now please take verse 12 to verse 14 and meditate on it to yourself for the next 1 minute or so. Please take verse 12. He said, do not let sin control the way you live. Say in the name of Jesus, sin will not control the way I live. I will not give in to sinful desires. Now, you see, you have to understand, you are not trying to plan something. You're just pumping the word into your heart. That word will, don't worry, the word will take care of the rest. I will not give in to sinful desires. I will not give in to sinful desires. I refuse for any part of my body to be an instrument to serve evil. An instrument of evil to serve sin. I refuse. Instead, I yield myself completely to God. Because I'm alive now. I have new life in Him. I use my whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer my master. Immorality is not my master. Lying is not my master. This tongue, you will speak the truth. In the name of Jesus, I sanctify myself for the purpose of God. I yield myself totally as an instrument for righteousness to the glory of God. I live under the freedom of God's grace. Grace is God's empowerment. Empowerment to overcome addiction. Empowerment to do right. Empowerment to obey righteousness. Empowerment to reject sin. Empowerment to reject the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes, I am free. Yes, I am free. Yes, I am free. In the name of Jesus, I am free. Quickly, everybody, just go further down to Romans chapter 8. We are going to read around verse 12 there. Romans chapter 8. Now, verse 11 is good, even though that's not the main thing we are reading, but let's just read from verse 11. It's the same thing we are saying. And you know what? Actually, in this portion, there's a bit of Mount Ebal. So we'll just use the opportunity. Is that okay?
Yes,
yeah, so that we'll just use the opportunity. There's a bit of Mount Ebal here. All right? So let's read from verse 11, and we're going to read all the way to verse 14. Amen?
Amen.
New Living Translation again. All right, from verse 11. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, one, two, let's go. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Now we're going to read it one more time. This time around, you are going to personalize it before we go into the meditation aspect of it. Do you understand? That is, you will say, therefore, I have no... You don't have to call yourself dear brother or dear sister. Do you get me? You just talk to yourself directly, okay? And I want to let's go. Therefore, I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to do. For if I live by its dictates, I will die. But if through the power of the Spirit I put to death the deeds of my sinful nature, I will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And I'm saying I am a child of God. Say it again.
I am a child of God.
Therefore,
I am led by the Spirit of God.
Can I just quickly clarify a small doctrinal issue here? It doesn't mean I'm whispered to by the Spirit of God. It means the propulsive force in my life, deciding where I go, where I don't go, what I enjoy, what I don't enjoy. Do you follow my point? What I do and what I don't do is the Spirit of God. That is a sinful body that wanted to push me in a particular direction. The Spirit of God said, you're not going that way. You know, I said earlier, it can cure gluttony. Yes. Say, I can't control myself when I'm eating. The Spirit of God will enter you. By the time you eat 3 spoons, you are tired. You think they've done one kind of surgery on your stomach. They remove half of your stomach. The Spirit of God says, no, no, no. That spirit of gluttony is gone. I hope you're getting my point. Now, let's take a moment. Meditate on that. All right? You know the way we normally do. Just speak to yourself. Roll it again and again. Roll it again and again. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to do. I am not under obligation to the flesh. Because those who do that, that's Mount Ebal, they will die. What does it mean to die? They fall under the power of sicknesses. They fall under the power of confusion. They fall under the power of premature death. They come under bondage to Satan. Say, but that's not my portion. Those who follow the dictates of the sinful nature, they will die. I will not die, but I will live. I will not die, but I will live. What does that mean? I will not follow the dictates of the sinful nature. But through the power of the Spirit, I am putting to death the deeds of my sinful nature. I put to death jealousy and anger. I put to death, you know, laziness. I put to death lying and sexual immorality. I put to death, you know, all the things of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Why? Because I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Because I'm a child of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me. Because I'm a child of God, though the Spirit of God dwells in me. I am a child of God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Therefore, I'm led by that Spirit. I'm propelled by that Spirit.
My desires are dictated by that spirit. What I want in my life is dictated by that spirit. My ambition is dictated by that spirit. Every self-ambition, I cast it down now in the name of Jesus. I yield my whole heart to the Lord. I yield my heart entirely to the Lord. I yield my heart entirely to the Lord. I yield my heart entirely to the Lord. And I have the power to do what is right. I have the power to do what is right. I have the power to do what is right. Notice that verse 12. It says, you are not under obligation. So I'm not under obligation to do what this sinful nature is saying. I am not under obligation. He said, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to the spirit. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I am not. Hallelujah. Let's continue quickly. Let's read 1 John chapter 3. Now this time we are claiming it for ourselves. That's what the word of God says. Whatever God says, you activate it in your life. Do you understand that? Whatever God says, what do? Yes, you activate it in your life. Whatever God says, you activate it in your life. Verse 9, are you there? 1 John chapter 3. We are reading verses 9 and 10, alright? Are we there? Yes. Now I want to let's go. Those who have been born into God's family, do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. Read that again. Next line. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. 10. So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Hallelujah. It's clear enough, isn't it? I think we should be reading this simple Bible sometimes. Because all these arguments will end. Are you seeing that? Now, if you have been born into God's family, say amen.
Amen.
Now, begin to claim that in meditation. You have 1 minute. All right? I have been born into God's family. Therefore, sin is not my practice. You are telling your body stuff. You are telling your soul stuff. You are speaking to yourself. I have been born into God's family. Therefore, I can't make a practice of sin. Why? God's life is in me. God's life is in me. I have been born into God's family. God's life is in me. Therefore, I cannot make a practice of sin. God's life is in me. I can't keep on sinning because I'm a child of God. How do we know the children of the devil? Those who cannot live righteously. But I'm a child of God. Therefore, I can live righteously. I can live righteously. I can live righteously because I am a child of God. I can live righteously because I'm a child of God. And I'm not a child of the devil. The seed of God dwells in me. You need to say that. The seed of God dwells in me. The seed of God dwells in me. The seed of God dwells in me. Please, for time's sake, let me read this one to us. Paul said, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's Ephesians chapter 4. He said, we are to put on the new... If I let open to it, everybody, open to it. Ephesians chapter 4, quickly. I think after there's nothing else we are doing but reading the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, quickly. Now, we are going to read from verse 22. Let's say from verse 20. Is that okay? We are reading from verse 20 all the way to verse 27. So, some read. We are going to quickly meditate on that. Alright, one, two, let's go. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off all sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Read verse 24 again. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
Let's just stop there for time's sake. The rest says, if you're a thief, quit stealing, use your hands for good hard work and give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, please take a moment and meditate on this, all right? Just start again from that verse 22, from verse 20. You can take from 22. You say, I throw off my old sinful nature, but I put on the new one, created to be like God. I have a new nature, created to be like God. You need to say that again and again, at least 7-8 times. I have a new nature. I've been created to be like God. Because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus, I have a new nature, created to be like God. I have the power to walk above sin. For that reason, I don't do what the old nature does, says. I don't tell lies. I don't let sin control me. I don't let anger control me. In the name of Jesus, I do not engage in stealing. I work hard with my own hands. In the name of Jesus, I do not use abusive language or foul language. I speak to my mouth to speak only that which is good and can bring an encouragement to those who hear. I speak these words as control over my body because I have been born again and I have the new life that is in Christ Jesus. I've been created in the image of God, truly righteous and holy. I've been created to be like God. I utter these words and receive the flow of the Spirit of God in my life. In the name of Jesus. You need to declare the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me, giving life and ability to my mortal body. Giving life and ability to me. Giving life and ability. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. What we have done is just to declare that, look, we have the ability to do right. Remember, what do you use prayer for? Purification. I hope you're getting my point. When God says, don't be afraid of anything, don't worry about anything. Did he say if you are not in Nigeria? So just tell yourself, I will not be anxious over anything. You know, Naira and dollar, they've been fighting each other up and down for a long time. I hope you don't. You know, there are things. I don't even click to check what they are doing. When I read it, I just jump it. Do I look like Cardoso? So what am I going to do about it? David said, I don't involve myself in matters too difficult for me. Yes. I hope you get my point. Yes. So just leave that matter. He said, don't worry about anything. One thing is certain. I will survive, I will thrive. Yes. Say that.
I will survive, and I will thrive.
Listen, there's not. You will prosper.
Amen.
He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. In the midst of adversity, just repeat that one to yourself again and again. The word is alive and what?
Active.
The word is alive and active. The Lord is good. Let's take a few more. This time around, let's take declarations concerning grace and our calling. Let's talk about purpose. They came to, Jesus said something when things were tough. He saw the cross in front of him. We read that from John chapter 12. What did he say? He said, Father, he said, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, for this cause, I came to this hour. There's a reason why you are in this hour. There's a reason why God will preserve your life. See, you can't ask God for a long life without telling, discussing purpose. He said, useless prayer. If I won't listen to you, say, Lord, I want to live long. God said, for what? Doing what? Because to live is Christ, at the service of Christ. To die is gain. Dying is good. It's like you're in our office. You know, sometimes I see civil servants, they don't want to retire. I say, why? You want to stay there forever. Why? You don't have any other thing to do with your life. People have things to do. Sometimes they just resign and walk away. You give them too many restrictions. Say, everybody now. Say, waiting. Take your resignation letter. How much are you even paying? That person can't breathe under your nose again. But see, we're cutting their retirement age is 60. When the person is 59, you just discover that his mother just called him from their village. That, Namdi, you are not really 59. No. He said, Mommy, what am I? He said, you're only 53. What do I do? Swear affidavit. They go to the office and file a new affidavit. That according to the records discovered under the Ogbanje spirit tree in front of our house, I was actually born already with their lies. You don't want to go anywhere. When you are in the place, supposed to be there's something you are doing. Do you get my point? And that's how this earth is also. You can't be discussing long life with God when there's no purpose in your mind. I hope you're getting my point. What you should be discussing with the Lord is purpose. Say, I shall live, I will not die. There's a reason. What's the reason? To declare the works of the Lord. Because heaven is real. I hope you're getting my point. It's very, very real. It's very important. So they came in John chapter 12. Jesus said, Eli said, Father, deliver me from this hour. He said, no, for this cause I came to this hour. I hope you're getting my point. We need to learn that. Open to the book of Psalm chapter 40. Let's quickly read that. No, let's read Psalm 139 first. Psalm 139. We're going to use that one to make declarations. Psalm 139. Let me just prophesy to you first before you even start reading. You won't miss the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
You will not miss the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
Everything that God created you to do, you will do.
Amen.
Everything He created you to perform, you will fulfill.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's quickly read from verse 13. Are you there? All right, we're going to read the same New Living Translation. That's been the one for the day. Let's start from verse 13, okay? Are you there? All right, let's go. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Did you see that?
Yes.
He said, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Now notice that before there was a day of your life, every day had been recorded in his book. I hope you're getting my point. Now please take a moment and say to the Lord, every day I will fulfill. Say, all those days that you recorded, I will fulfill. You are telling the Lord that. Just for a few seconds. Now begin to speak to yourself. Say, hey, mention your own name, Banky. Listen, every day recorded concerning you, you will fulfill. Every day concerning you that was recorded in God's book, you will fulfill. Every day. Every day. Every day. If at this point, I think I'll just read out that one for you. He said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me. To do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. Say that to the Lord as you are saying the other one. Say, Lord, I have come to do thy will, O my God. The law is within my heart. The force of purpose is within my heart. The force of purpose is within my heart. Will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, for this cause I came to this hour. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the reason I came to this hour will be fulfilled. In my life, in my spiritual transformation, it will be fulfilled. In the effect I will have on the church of God on this earth, it will be fulfilled. In the effect I will have in the body of Christ, it will be fulfilled. In the blessings I will pour upon this earth, it will be fulfilled. Every day that was written concerning me, it will be fulfilled. I sanctify myself to fulfill the purpose of God. I sanctify myself to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. I sanctify myself. Declare it. Say, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I'm quoting for Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8 there. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. I delight to do your will. Your law is within my heart. Say, Lord, every day of my life, I will fulfill the ones that you have written for me. I will not walk in my own purpose, but I will walk in the purpose of God for my life. Behold, I come. In the volume of the books, it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. You need to say that to the Lord again and again. Say, Lord, what I have determined, what I propose, and I'm asking for grace, is to fulfill every day that you have said I should fulfill. Where you say I should fulfill them, doing that which you said I should do. Lord, that is what I propose. That is what I ask for grace for. I command my body today, obey the will of God in your life. I speak to my body. Obey the will of God. I speak to my body. Obey the will of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I just realized that we still have quite a lot to do, so we're going to stop it. Maybe God allowing us will continue it next time. So many scriptures, all right? But remember, what is the aim? To control, to sanctify yourself. What is sanctification? To be aligned with the purpose. See, sanctification is not, now, please, I'm not saying you should dress like a crazy person. No. I hope you get my point. But holiness is not the way you dress. It's why you dress the way you do. I hope you're getting my point. Uh-huh. Look. I saw one doctor this afternoon. I said, why are you dressed like this? You know, it was just strange the way he was. Now I said, sir, I'm going to perform a procedure. I said, okay. Now the dressing was okay. You know, just that it was a bit unusual. I'm used to him wearing his shirt and a tie, looking like a normal, you know, handsome young guy. Well, he was wearing, you know, scrubs and wearing, So for a moment, I'm like, why are you, and I said, okay, I'm going to perform this procedure. I said, okay. That's what they call sanctification. He was sanctified for a procedure. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. This will surprise you. I'm not saying it's good, though. But Olympics of those days, they used to run stark naked. Not modern day Olympics that turned 100 years, a few years ago. The original Greek Olympics. You know why they used to run naked? To reduce every encumbrance and cloth that does easily beset. But this modern, they didn't do that anymore because of, you know, fabric design that's actually better than being naked. So when you wear, they're very slippery and all of that. Okay? The way everybody, you know, dresses is according to your purpose. Do you follow my point? All right? Aaron's garment was made for a purpose, for glory and for beauty. So what is sanctification? It's to be set apart for God's purpose. That's the first thing about it. The second part about it is that to be cleansed and prepared for that purpose. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
So there are many knives here. This is for eating yam. This one is for cutting chicken. This one is for operating. The way we wash them will be different. The one for eating, for cutting yam, if you like, we can wash it. Sometimes we just rub it at the edge of the kitchen. Because you are going to boil the yam. But the one for cutting chicken you want to eat, it's already washed and it's rinsed in normal water. But do you know that normal water, if you use to wash the one you want to use to operate on somebody, you give the person wound infection. Because this is your skin, that your sink that's very clean. If God allowed you to open your eyes to see the bacteria inside, you no go drink that water again. Do you get my point? But it's not in the volume that can harm you, and it's not the type that will harm you. But when you put in somebody's skin, it's different. So they sanctify that one differently. How you sanctify the yam cutting knife is not the way you sanctify the surgical knife. The surgical knife goes through hot furnace. They call it autoclaving. Dry heat, whatever it is they want to use. They use gamma radiation to burn off everything. Why? It's purpose. If you want to fulfill God's destiny, you can't believe in anyhow. That's what we are saying. If we are going to fulfill the destiny of God for our lives, we can't live anyhow. Some things are not even bad, but you are not allowed to do them. Like in Israel, somebody dies. The priest is not allowed to mourn the way everybody else is mourning. Do you know, if a priest has to marry a woman who has married before me because her husband dies, she has to be the wife of a priest. Yes. They don't just... Why? God has chosen them specially. They had their own rules, that they had their own regulations. He said, the people in the family now, a grandpa died, I should be aware. They said, he's a priest, so don't make for him. So, you see, sanctification, look, it's both general and very personal. The Red Prince said something. Oh God, God give me some kind discipline. The Red Prince said that, I made up my mind, I will be the best teacher of the world possible. He said, for that reason, I'm very careful what enters my mind. It's not everything I watch, not everything I read. He said, because what enters my heart affects what I say. He said, so to be an excellent teacher of the word of God, I control what I look at. I control pages of newspaper I open. I control the books I read. Listen, it's not every click you click on. This is everything on your phone. There are things you just don't. You know something? You're a priest. Just drive away your anointing. Give a lot of thanks. Say, Lord, I will serve your purpose for my life.
I sanctify myself so I can fulfill your purpose for my life. I sanctify myself. I just feel like take a moment and say, God, forgive me of all my transgressions. Because that's one beautiful thing about the blood of Jesus. Where you have made the mistake before, he will forgive. Where you have made a mistake before, he will forgive. Where you have made a mistake before, he will forgive and renew. He will forgive and he will renew. So this evening, I want someone to just receive that renewal. Say to the Lord, let's start again. Say, Lord, I want to start again. I'm supposed to be a teacher of the word. I have allowed all kinds of things into my heart. Lord, let's start again. Help me. Let's start again. All the years that me and the locusts we ate together, we destroyed the cankerworm. All of that we cooperated and wasted. Lord, I'm asking you, restore. Lord, I'm asking you to restore. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to restore. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you.